Today's reading is from Psalm 16, reading from verse 1 to verse 11. Keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after the other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes away always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Amen.
So we come to Psalm 16 this morning, a psalm that's primarily a psalm of confident resting in God. This psalm's attributed to David, and it begins with a brief petition, a brief request, keep me safe, my God. But the main thrust of this psalm is his confidence in the Lord, in this life and in the next. That initial plea in verse 1, keep me safe, O God, for in you I take refuge. And then he continues in verse 2 with a statement of his refusal to worship other gods. And then a confident commitment to God. And finishing up with an expression of confidence and joy in God. Last week, Colin took us through Psalm 11, about taking refuge in the Lord, particularly in situations of need, of distress, in situations when we feel out of our depth, when our confidence is being undermined, when we're feeling overwhelmed. And we saw how David concentrated on God, not on the problem. The certainty that God is in his holy temple, he is in control, and the certainty of his presence both now and into eternity. And in this psalm, Psalm 16, David again begins the psalm with that plea for protective care of God. But there's no real sense of distress that we saw in Psalm 11. No real sense of him being out of his depth. It's more a desire for that continued protection than from deliverance from a specific trouble. This psalm can be seen more as a psalm of confidence rather than a cry for deliverance. David realizes that the potential for suffering or attack or failure is always present. So he preemptively takes a position of complete reliance on God as a protective refuge. He expresses a sense of confidence in God's protective care. God is the psalmist's highest good. Literally, you are my good. There is none above you. David acknowledges that God is the source of all good things. All the good things that have happened to him. But the Lord is the best thing of all. The Lord is to be valued above all his gifts. The good things that he gives us remind us of the one who gives them. In verses 3 to 4, we see David's refusal to worship other gods. In verse 3, David mentions the saints, the glorious ones. These are the godly believers living on the earth. David's thinking mainly of God's covenant people, the Israelites, those who belong to God, those who are holy, set apart for him. In the New Testament, the word saints refers to believers in Christ. A saint is one who is separated from sin and who leads a holy life. And that is made possible for us through faith in Christ, through the power of the Holy Spirit. In verse 4, David goes on to speak about the sorrows that those who run after other gods will experience. David will have nothing to do with their gods and will not participate in the blood sacrifices offered to them, the libations of blood, as it says in the NIV. David's loyalty to God is expressed by his complete rejection of any involvement in the false worship of other gods. He won't be involved in their ritual sacrifices or identify in any way with these pagan gods. Only the name of God, Yahweh, will be on his lips. In verses 5 to 8, we see that confident commitment. David praises the Lord for the good things he has done for him. For the godly, the cup of blessing and salvation. But for the wicked, it will be a cup of wrath. In verse 6, David mentions the promised land that God has given to the Israelites. David calls it a delightful inheritance. And the New Living Translation translates it as a wonderful inheritance. But not only has God given David prosperity and security in this delightful inheritance, filled with pleasant places, he's given him guidance and instruction. God remains at David's right hand, holding him and steadying him so that he will not be shaken. All these blessings are part of God's covenant promise to his people, the Israelites. If only they will continue to obey his commands, then he will continue to pour out his blessings upon them. We see that in Exodus 19, when Moses spoke with God. In verses 9 to 11, we have the expression of David's confidence and joy in God. David rejoices that his body will rest secure. But more significantly, he suggests that this security will last beyond death, beyond the grave. David will not be abandoned at death. Somehow he will continue to have a relationship with God, even after his body is in the grave. David says that he will not let his Holy One see decay. The Holy One in the first instance here, it refers to David himself, God's chosen and anointed ruler of Israel. In that sense, his position as a king made him holy. But the Holy One doesn't only refer to David. It refers also to David's son, Jesus Christ. God, through the Holy Spirit, has given David knowledge that his body would not decay. But not only that, David would be led on a path of life and he would experience eternal pleasures. David's implying that after death he would remain in a vital and blessed relationship with God. David didn't know how this would happen, but he was confident that it would. David may not have understood the implications of what he wrote, but in fact, he was really speaking prophetically of the resurrection from the dead, something much talked about by Jesus and the apostles. The Holy One's body would not decay because it would be resurrected from the dead. When the disciples saw Jesus, they saw his body was missing from the tomb. They were told that Jesus had risen. and shortly after they saw him. They saw Jesus with their own eyes. It wasn't just his spirit they saw, but his resurrected body. Then they realized the prophetic meaning of David's psalm. God's Holy One, Jesus, had not seen decay. He had been resurrected from the dead. And the Apostle Peter quoted this passage from Psalm 16 when he addressed that huge crowd after the Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. He used it to show that David's prophecy had been fulfilled in Jesus. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we too, who believe in him, will also rise and experience eternal pleasure at his right hand. We read in Romans chapter 8, "The Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you." Where do we find our security? In a society obsessed by the possession of things, is our security dependent on things or circumstances? Or do we find our security in God alone? David testifies in Psalm 16 that even at the most unstable and threatening moments of our life, when all other forms of security fail and leave us without defense, God is still our portion and cup. In God's presence, the insecurities of life don't just disappear, but we are empowered in him to find the path of life within and through these painful times. In God's presence, we discover that there is fullness of joy and eternal pleasure. I'm sure we may have seen this in the lives of friends who have been through the most imaginable, unimaginable troubles and sadness, and yet their life is satisfied. Their life is secure in God. They know God's presence with them in the midst of these terrible times. This psalm is a reminder to us of who God is and his good promises to us as his children. It helps us to reorientate our lives, to reset the compass of our lives to what really matters, to who God is. Psalm 16 reminds us of who he is. We can often drift from what we know is true, but this psalm reorientates us in a conversation with God as we say, "Lord, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand." Three things that humans chase after: life, joy, and pleasure. Where can we find real life, joy, and pleasure? Well, verse 11 tells us, not popular culture or relationships or work. When we seek them in comfort, power, achievement, relationships, when we spend time and money on these things, when we seek life, joy, and pleasure in anything or anyone other than God, verse 4 tells us, the sorrows of those who run after other gods will increase. But when we seek life, fullness, and pleasure in other things, we'll be disappointed. Only God can bring us pleasure forevermore. If it were left to us, our hearts would always make the wrong choice. Without God, we can't truly be good. But how amazing is it that he awakens in us a desire to be satisfied in him, to choose the good, to learn wisdom, to love his people, and to cast off our misplaced faith in our worthless idols. God alone deserves unceasing praise. He alone can save. I wonder whether this confidence comes from David having experienced God as refuge in times when he's felt overwhelmed. Or does this confidence give him assurance to turn to God and that God will be his refuge when the going is tough? Are we more likely to trust God in the tough times, but forget him when the going's relatively easy? Are we in danger of taking God for granted? Psalm 16 is a psalm that can be repeated by every believer in Christ with the same confidence and joy that David had when he first wrote it. And indeed for us, our confidence is greater because we have seen the psalm fulfilled in history. Through the Holy Spirit, we have already received a foretaste of the eternal pleasures that await us in heaven. And in this earthly life, we too, like David, can feel secure. With David, we can say, Lord, you have assigned my portion. If the Lord has assigned our portion, we can be content. No matter how difficult our earthly circumstances may be, we can know that we have a wise and loving God. And in that knowledge, we can rejoice. As we know from Romans chapter 8, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. So as we think about this psalm this week, let's consider whether we are taking God for granted or whether we have that strong confidence in him. Whether we know that everything is working together for good. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the confidence that we have in you. Thank you for these words that David penned so long ago, but that are so relevant for us today. Father, help us never to take you for granted, but day by day to draw closer to you, to live and work and do the things that you want us to do in the power of the Holy Spirit. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.